all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Mark 12:30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And again in Luke, the 10th chapter. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So, the first scripture that I read was in the Old Testament. The next three that I read are from the New Testament. Christ himself is speaking those words. And he says, and it says repeatedly, this is the first commandment. This is the first one. And if you are the oldest child, you would like to think that the first is always the best and most important. We know that's not true, middle children and youngest children. But when God says, this is the first commandment, I'm taking this is the most important commandment. This is numero uno. This is it. Everything else flows from this. It goes on to Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter. It says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is a commandment to us. We're supposed to teach these words, this commandment, to our children. We're supposed to talk about these words and this commandment when we're in our house, going about our business every day. When we go about our day and our affairs, these words are supposed to be living in our thoughts and in our actions. When we go to sleep, we should be thinking about this commandment, trying to live out this commandment. When we wake up, this should be on our mind. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our mind and our strength. And a lot of people, there's, you know, one of the verses says soul, and we see might, mind, and strength. I am going to talk about those three ways to love the Lord today, about this first and great commandment. And what is the action? What is the action that he is telling us to perform in that commandment? What is the word? Love. He commands us to love him. That all other desires and motives and actions that we perform would be performed from a feeling, from a sense, from a knowledge of love for our God. Everything else comes from that. Didn't command us to fear him or be obligated to him or have this noble sense of duty. He called us and commanded us to love him. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you knew someone who embodied these qualities, would it not be easy to love them? Wouldn't it just come natural to you? You couldn't help but love that person. I'll tell you, I have been blessed to have three grandmothers in my life who have all displayed these fruits. Not perfectly, but in good measure. They had each of these in good measure. And boy, I'll tell you, they're easy to love. Those women are easy to love. And if you ever knew any of them, you would understand why. And I'm sure as you read those and you think about someone in your life those qualities speak to, you love them, don't you? It's easy to love that person. These are qualities in the character of our Heavenly Father. He has not given us a hard commandment. He's told us to love him, and he's made it easy to love him. But the only way that we can love him, and it will be easy to love him, is if we know him. First way that we're called to do this, he says, serve the Lord with all your heart. Those verses tell us, that commandment says, serve the Lord with all of our heart. And that's what I want to get into today. How do we live out this commandment? How do we go about it? That first step, serving the Lord with all your heart. First scripture that I want to read about that is in 1 Samuel, in the 12th chapter, I'm reading 20 and 24. And this is Christ. Sorry about that. This is Christ before the new covenant was made. This is in the time of the old Mosaic law. And we read here, it says, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. You know, we refer to the heart a lot in songs and in poems, in sports and in politics. It's in so many phrases and idioms. And, you know, I think about some of the phrases and idioms that we use. We call somebody cold-hearted. Say, the person has a cold heart. It means they're uncaring. They're unfeeling. They're unmoved. On the other hand, we know someone that we respect, and we say they have a heart of gold. You know that person? They've got a heart of gold. They're sincerely kind and generous. It's a quality person. We say someone wears his biggest weakness, he wears his heart on his sleeve. His emotions are out there for everyone to see. If you really want to give someone a promise that you mean, what do you say? You say, I cross my heart, right? We use these phrases and idioms all the time because the heart is of the utmost importance in everything that we do. It's in the center of our bodies. It's the most important organ in our body. Everything flows from it. There is no life without our heart. And similarly, there is no life, there is no true life in God, life that is acceptable to our Creator, if our heart is not in it. Give me thy heart, says the Father above, right? One of our hymns. Give me thy heart. Another one that we sing says, I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My heart is going to be the place where you live and operate and move, and I am moved from. I am giving you the spot in the place that is most important to me, most vital to me. That is where you will reside, God. I'm blessed to look around and see a lot of couples who've been married for a long time. Started as boyfriends and girlfriends and get married and have children and live a life together and ups and downs, heartache and joys. And I think it's safe to say that you've given that person your heart, right? You've given your heart to that person. And what does that mean to give someone your heart? It means that you care about them more than you care about yourself, correct? You esteem them, you hold them in higher regard than anyone else. You give them your affection, you give them your fidelity, your desire. You want to be with them, you want to spend your life with that person. You want to please them, you want to make them happy. You want to do these things not because it benefits you, but because you love them. You want what's best for them. Because they are worthy of your love. They are worthy of your heart. It's Psalm 63, 1 through 8. I didn't put that on the slide. If you want to turn with me, I apologize for not having it up there. It might be out of order. So if I come to it, I'm going to read it now. 63rd chapter of Psalms, in the first 8 verses. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Who wrote these words? Someone say it. I want to hear David. The scriptures say that David was a man after God's own heart, right? There was a king that was serving before David. His name was Saul, and he did not follow the Lord's commandments. And God replaced Saul and appointed David. And David served the Lord, but you know what else he did? He committed abominable sins. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And yet David bore the consequences of those sins, and he sought forgiveness quickly and repeatedly, and repented to God. And despite those sins, he was still called a man after God's own heart. How can that be? How can wickedness exist in someone and still be a man after God's own heart? What does that say to me? It says that my sin has not disqualified me from God's grace. It says to me that God would prefer an imperfect servant with a heart devoted to him over a sinless servant who is without feeling, who's just going through the motions. How do we serve him with our heart? We let our heart be drawn out to him. We dwell on his goodness. You read through the entire book of Psalms, and that's someone who has given considerable thought and consideration to God's goodness in all its ways, in the hard ways, in the fun, joyful ways, in the ways that bring us sorrow and challenge us and make us question our belief. Coming back to his essential goodness, we seek communion with his Spirit. This is how we serve him with our whole heart. That we welcome that Spirit to be a part of our heart. That we examine ourselves and find out what is standing in the way. What's keeping me from giving full place to God's Spirit in my heart? What idols have I set up before him? We serve with gladness. Why are we glad? Why would we be glad to serve? Because we have a merciful God. That when our service falls short, that when we fall into sin, when we repeatedly repeat the same sin, God is still there waiting to forgive. I am glad that he has not grown tired of me, because anyone else that I've sinned against this much in this way would be done with me. But God is never done with you. God is not ever done with you. I am so glad that I have an everlasting, merciful Father in heaven. In order to receive that mercy, I have to be quick to repent. This is something that Saul did wrong. When his sin was brought before him, he made excuses. He said, oh, well, this is the reason why I did it, and this person is why. And he didn't allow the Spirit to convict him. But David did. And David accepted the consequences of his sin. We're going to sin and God is going to forgive, but there are still going to be consequences. And part of serving him with our whole heart is accepting those consequences. We have to accept his will in blessing and in chastening. Times that we're chastened, we don't know why. You know, I'm always looking for a reason why something bad happened, why something unfortunate came up. What did I do? Where was my mistake? You can't always find one, because there's not always one. It's the Lord's will. And his will is always right for us in our lives. And while we're experiencing these times, the way that he has called us to serve him with all of our heart is praise. Praise him. Praise him throughout all of it. It's difficult to do when you're struggling physically, when someone you love is struggling physically or mentally, when things that you've held so tightly in your hand are slipping out of your hand, disappearing. Having the words of praise for our God through all those times. It's important to remember, it's important for me to remember that God doesn't command us to do anything because it's something that he needs. He needs nothing from us. It's not something that he desires for himself as if our praise could make him better, could build him up. He is complete. He is whole. The reason he commands us to do these things is because it's our benefit, because we benefit from them. We're not adding anything to God. We're adding to ourselves. It's for our own good, because he loves us. Because he loves us, he commands us to do these things. He's the only source of goodness. And by praising him, we take part in that goodness. Second part, serving the Lord with all your mind. So on the surface, when I was preparing this, I thought, well, this has got to be the easiest of the three. As if there's an easy part of any of this. But, you know, I thought about it. I was like, really? This just takes our time and our focus, as if that's easy. As if giving anything our time and focus is easy. And when I think about the day and age in which we live, it may be the most difficult because we are constantly challenged for our time and our focus. There are constant distractions in our world. Time is short. The older I get, the more I realize time is so short. Anna texted me the other day, and I know she was thinking about how short time was, and out of nowhere she says, I'm basically almost 70. I said, yeah, babe, you're almost 70. But it feels like that. You see your kids growing older. You see everyone else growing older around you. And how fast time speeds up the older that we get. I'm going to be 45 next month. I'm pretty soon 50 and then 60. And yeah, I'm basically 70 years old right now. Might as well be. And what do we do with our time? We train ourselves. We train ourselves at the smallest bit of peace and quiet, of without stimulation. What do? We grab our phone and we find something to distract ourselves with. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is how we serve the Lord with our mind. We think about the good things. There's so much filth and awfulness in the world, and we don't have to pay attention to that. You can be aware of it. We're all aware that that's out there. But we don't have to choose to welcome it into our homes, onto our devices, to give it more attention than what it demands of us. We are to think on these things, things that are just and honest and true and pure and lovely. Think about how you've been blessed. Just spend time every day, just a couple minutes, thinking about blessings you've received. And I promise you, the more that you do that, you'll remember things that you've forgotten about. Blessings that you couldn't remember. God will bring those things to your mind. 2 Nephi 3:29-30. For my soul, it's one of my favorite scriptures in the Book of Mormon. For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. We have to read the scriptures. We've been given a challenge by our brother to read through our scriptures. And it's given us a direction and a daily plan, and now we just have to do it. If you want to know more about God, if you want to serve him with your mind, you have to think about him. You have to think about the words that he's given us. You know, if God forbid one of my kids came home one day, you know, and they said, I met somebody yesterday, and guess what? I'm in love. I'm in love, and we're making plans for the future. I don't know if anyone's ever been through that. But what would be the immediate thought? Maybe you don't say it right away, but what would you be thinking? If someone says, I love this person, and I just met them, you would say, you don't even know them. How can we truly love God if we've spent no time getting to know him? And this is the way that he calls us to come to know him, to read his scriptures, to let our heart ponder on the things of him, of what is lovely and good, the things that we've seen and heard, the testimonies that we've heard, the sermons that you've heard preached. His pondering and contemplation is rare now. The world doesn't really allow for it. And it can be heavy. It can be daunting to sit and let your mind wander and ask questions. You know, when you read in the first book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is hours of contemplation on those verses alone. Christ was always there. From the beginning, the only begotten was always with God. You let your mind wander on these thoughts and these spiritual mysteries, and things will be revealed to you. It gives time for the Spirit to work on our hearts. One of the ways that I like to do this, I like to do it when I'm driving. I like to get out of my house, the places of comfort, where routines just kind of take over. Maybe get in nature, maybe go for a walk. Feel so much easier to feel God's presence in nature than inside a house, to see his handiwork, to see the majesty of his creation. It's humbling. And a humble heart is fertile ground for the Spirit to work. Luke 12:8. And also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Have you ever done this? Have you confessed God to other people? Maybe in these walls you have. Maybe some of you haven't. Does this make you pause? Give you any concern? We have an opportunity every month to stand and confess before men. And we get to do it with people that we love, with our own family. If we can't do that here, how do we do it outside of these walls? How do we witness to Jesus Christ? I want Christ on my side. I want him pleading my case because I need all the help I can get when I'm standing before our Heavenly Father. and all the sins and all the wickedness that I have taken part in my life, that I have chosen over him, is before me. I want him pleading my cause. I want him to be able to say that I spoke on his behalf. You can use your God-given gifts, talents, intellectual abilities to honor him. You can read the scriptures. You listen to sermons. Ponder and contemplate on God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we can share it with others. That's how we can honor him with our mind. It's not just thinking on God, and it's thinking on others. It's not really productive, me spending more time thinking about myself. That's not really how I get in a good headspace, is thinking about myself. It's thinking about others. It's thinking about my God. The third part, serving the Lord with all your strength. Alma, the 14th chapter. And now, behold, we have come and been forth amongst them, and have been patient in our sufferings, and we have suffered every privation. We have traveled from house to house, relying upon the mercies of the world, and not upon the mercies of the world alone, but upon the mercies of God. And we have entered into their houses, and taught them, and we have taught them in the streets, and we taught them upon their hills, and we have entered into their temples and synagogues and taught them. And we've been cast out and mocked and spit upon and smote upon our cheeks. We've been stoned and have been taken and bound with strong cord and cast into prison. And through the power and wisdom of God, we have been delivered again. And we have suffered all manner of afflictions. And all this, that perhaps we might be the means of saving some soul. And we supposed that our joy would be full if perhaps we could be the means of saving some. None of us have been through this. This is what it means to serve with all your strength. So I'm confident that none of us have ever exhausted our strength serving the Lord. But this is the level that he's called us to. Now, our ministry travels throughout the world and does this work for God and have dealt with some difficult circumstances. But do you think that that's only for them? Do you think that that physical effort is only for the ministry that we send around the world? In unsafe places, the unknown faces, who knows what is waiting for them? Do you think that God has only called them to perform this work? So I ask you, what work can you perform for the Lord with your arms and your legs, with your hands and your feet and your back and the strength that he's given you? We can serve others in our own home. And for years I took this for granted. I thought, you know, I'm not doing enough work for the Lord, but you know what? The Lord blessed me with 4 kids and a lot to deal with and a wonderful wife who puts up with me. But it's work sometimes. It takes our strength. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Colossians 3:18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord." Okay, this is 2025. And the burden of domestic response, Trevor, are you listening? The burden of domestic responsibilities are shared nowadays. Now, I'm not going to go through each of your households and say who's doing what and split it up, but are you mindful of those things? Do you consider your spouse? Do you share the work? Do you share the burden? Are you finding balance in your house for the sake of your spouse, for your partner? First Timothy 5:8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." I can't imagine there's any parents here that aren't taking care of the needs of their children. But are you spending time with your kids? Are you spending quality time with your children? Are you too tired? Are you too busy? Do you think there'll be plenty of time to do this? We'll have lots of nights together. In 6 months, all my kids will be graduated from high school. And the time that we'll spend throwing the ball back and forth, it will be done for the most part. You know, me standing over them at the kitchen table saying, "What's 7 times 8? And getting so frustrated, those days are over. They're done before you know it. Are you spending time with your kids? Are you having good conversations with them? Are you talking about God and their duty towards Him? On the other hand, kids, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. This isn't just right. This is what you're supposed to do. You should feel this in your heart. Do you feel this in your heart, or do you feel this? I might have asked one of my kids to walk the dogs yesterday. Guess what response I got? Kids, do you think about doing things to help your parents without being asked? This is how you grow. This is how you mature. This is how you think about others and prefer others and show your love to your parents. Serving others outside of our home. You can help others with physical and financial needs. I put scripture references if you want to follow up on those. Do you see need? There's lots of needs around us. If you recognize it, do you take responsibility for it? We have church projects and fundraisers, ways of serving the local and each other without being in the ministry. You can attend church when you don't feel like it. This takes a certain amount of strength, sometimes physical strength because you're so tired from the week, mental strength because you're mentally exhausted. Do you still make the decision to come, to show up? Have you ever considered coming to Sunday school? Is that too much to ask? Serve the Lord with our strength by tithing. And this is hard. Things aren't getting cheaper, right? You know, this is where I say, thanks, former president, blah, blah, blah. Inflation. I don't know about you, but my raises never keep up with inflation. That's just life. And it's hard. It's hard to give back to God what is rightfully His. But it's His. The opportunity I have to work, that you have to work, to have employment, to get that paycheck, and pay for all the responsibilities we have, that's only a gift from God. It's His to begin with. We can serve the Lord with our strength by honoring the body that He's given us. I mean this in the obvious ways and maybe not so obvious ways. We should take care of the physical body that He has given us, right? That may not be obvious, immediately obvious. That's how we serve Him with our strength, but we can't be in strength if we don't take care of the body that gives us strength. We do that by not doing harm to ourselves. Young people, older people, drugs, alcohol. There's young people that abuse themselves in different ways. We do this to ourselves by not, frankly, eating very well and taking care of ourselves day to day. Going to the doctor. Yeah, that sounds silly. I'm serving God by going to the doctor. Do you think that God doesn't want you to go to the doctor and take care of yourself? He does. We are given this knowledge and information and advancement for our benefit. If He didn't want us to have that knowledge, we wouldn't have it. And He wants you to serve in your fullest capacity, and you do that by taking care of yourself. It also keeps us from being a burden on others. We serve Him by resting, by honoring the Sabbath, by taking a day to rest our minds and our bodies and a time to focus on our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Give Him our undivided attention. And I have a hard time not doing things not going home and distracting myself with whatever project or whatever it is. He has called us to serve him in our strength by exercising the strength to relax and focus on him. I think I have one more slide. It says that I have two more, but I think I have one more. And it's two quotes from C.S. Lewis. And this is how I'm going to end my sermon. But the great thing to remember is that though our feelings come and go, his love for us does not. It is not wearied by our sins or our indifference, and therefore it is quite relentless in its determination that we shall be cured of those sins at whatever cost to us, at whatever cost to him. God loves us not because we are lovable, but because he is love. Not because he needs to receive, but because he delights to give. He delights to give us these commandments. Why? Because he is receiving something from us? No. Because in turn, he is giving us. He is giving us honor. He is giving us blessing. He's giving us the prayer that Christ prayed before his crucifixion, right? Honor me, honor them with the honor that you have given me, that we may all be one. This is how we become one. We become one by serving him with our heart and our mind and our strength. And he is not wearied by our sins, and he will be relentless in his determination and his pursuit of us. So, Lord is reaching out to you, trying to show you ways that you can serve him greater. Listen to his spirit and do the work. Thank you.